April to the CIP bonding committee for drafting policy that will make Canton staff and elected officials more responsible when it comes to project funding. I wanted to say I do oppose the idea of bonding in intervals as a standard business practice, because if we're planning a capital reserve fund, then I think it's irresponsible and expensive to intentionally saddle the public with accrued interest loan payments that inevitably raise project costs on top of the capital reserve fund. It's simply bad business practice, and corporate businesses do not take loans as standard operating procedure, and neither for this municipality. We need to be more intentional. And when I look at page 7 of your meeting packet tonight, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like we're paying $1.2 million in interest fees on the Firehouse Bridge project. That's not accurate, please correct me. And I just think that's poor planning and fiscally irresponsible. On the topic of the Capital Reserve Fund, I think we need to itemize that immediately. Several different projects from the POCD to the track of the high school have laid claims to tens of thousands of dollars. So where is that tally? Where are those funds kept, and what, how are they being accounted for? For debt purposes, is the Capital Reserve Fund going to be considered assigned or unassigned as laid out in the policy in the packet? Regarding your agenda tonight, under financial conditions, I believe Mr. Blatchley correctly requested the tax assessor to present information on the phase-in, and the BOF never put that request into action. I think if you did, you would be educated that several errors occurred in the initial year of the phase-in, and the tax collector has 3 years to send out corrected tax bills. And it would be responsible of this Board of Finance to request a presentation from the tax collector and assessor on that topic. On CIP item 4D, in the past, CAO Skinner requested CIP projects from the public with a due date before this meeting, and I haven't seen any announcements for public input on CIP projects for next budget season, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I think the public's probably still passionate about renovations for Mills Pond and pavement management, but it should be standard practice to reach out to the public, as has been done in the past for several decades. Union contracts, page 7, 401k contribution match. I'm going to need some clarification there, because that the generous percentage there currently exceeds corporate market averages. So I need to know, are these matching employer contributions with immediate effective employment, or are they on a vested schedule based on years of service? I don't think there's enough in pavement management. Sidewalks, you put in your budget, it's based on our ADA action plan, not enough.
I'm sorry, 3 minutes.
Thank you. Town hall needs a new elevator to be ADA compliant. It's not in there. And we have zero updates on the existing health projects. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for your comments. Any other public comment from the room?
Good evening, Nick Barlow, 321 Cherrybrook Road. First, I'll start out by not disappointing that you here to pitch the pavement management program that was locally underfunded last year. Putting that aside, I'd like to talk about not the budget side, but the revenue side, and point you to the monies that need to be set aside for the senior tax relief program. Previous assessor's office done a woefully inadequate job, and the town should be ashamed of how little they've done to make that program available and known to the senior citizens in the town. I'm not certain how much money was used in this current budget, reduced from the revenue side for the senior tax relief. I've tried to find that out, unfortunately, but I haven't been able to do that this time. I have called the new financial officer to try to see if I can get that number. I know she's over a lot of new things stepping into the budget. I'd like to get that number, but my point is whatever you put it in the past, it was a real serious effort to go out there and identify that program and opportunities for relief to those seniors. I would think that amount of money would easily double, triple, maybe even go more than that. So I ask you to deliberation that when you come up with a revenue stream, to make sure you're setting up money aside for of the senior vaccinated program if truly publicized for the seniors and all the South there. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else in the room like to make public comment? Yep.
Oh, Bill Wilson, commuted town. Only lived here 6 to 7 years. I can tell you, roads in town look like hell. Half the roadsides aren't mowed. Roads are falling apart. Big sinkhole up on a lot of the paths and stuff like that. I'm really disgusted the way the town's being taken care of. Look at River Street down here in Collinsville, right in the center of town. Not been mowed. Trees all falling down. Looks like hell down there. You know, somebody's got to do something here. I don't think anybody's got the knowledge or the ambition to get this job done. You got to get somebody going here to get this place cleaned up. It looks like hell. The street signs are falling over everything. I don't know who's in charge or what else going on. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else in the room? Do we have anybody online? If you are online, would like to make comments, please raise your hand at this time. Seeing no hands. Okay. On once, going twice. All right. Thank you all for your public comments. As a reminder, this is the kickoff of our budget process, and we welcome any and all input from the public, especially early on in the process. This is when your comments and opinions matter most, and it's much, much appreciated. All right, so with that, we'll move on to the next part of our agenda. And as a note to all, I'm going to do my best to keep this meeting to 1 hour and keep this moving along, as we do have another meeting immediately following this. All right, with that, I'm going to hand it over to our Director of Finance, Zoe, to lead us through some of the data that Mark put together for this presentation.
All right, thank you. So item A is discuss the grand list. So I put together, I don't know if everybody has the packet in front of them.
Getting feedback, we can't hear you. Can we move up the mic? Yeah.
You don't hear us. Thank you.
Mark, is it possible to get the packet information up on the screens?
Are you going to share that? I'm going to try. I thought it was all set to share with this one.
I can put it on here, move it to here, and then get it up there, but I don't feel like, can people see that?
They should be sure.
Not having it.
That is not video.
I mean, this might take a second.
Yeah, thank you, Amala. That'll be best so that others can follow along as we go through this information. So as we wait for that, I will comment that, you know, this the intent of this meeting is to, again, to kick off our budget process. We are looking into the future with, you know, the best everything we know at this point in time to try to come up with a forecast for what this budget target is going to be. In past years, we've been asked, Board of Finance has been asked to provide some targets in terms of what they are willing to accept on behalf of the residents of Canton in terms of, you know, managing the balance of town services, tax increases, and consideration of what, you know, voters have told us they're willing to accept in the past. But that being said, you know, we're going to look at numbers we know now. So what are those numbers? Some of the numbers that we can look at are, what are the rising costs of utilities? What are the rising costs for the consumer index numbers in terms of what our goods and services are increased by? Inflation. So those are some of the things that we can use and apply to our budget from last year in order to come up with a forecast. You know, keep in mind, this is, you know, again, looking. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. The boards have their Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen have their independent processes to go through. This is just to provide us somewhere to start as we kick off the planning season. So as we look at numbers and Zoe goes over some of these numbers with us, keep in mind that, you know, these are what we know now. Some of the numbers are going to be incomplete in terms of what we have for the grant list at this point. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we're going to look at some numbers that will help give us some indications.
All right, that's up and running. So, all right, this first slide is,
make sure it's on.
So I worked with our assessor's office and the tax office to kind of come up with what estimate we should use in terms of grantless growth. And as of right now, I don't think anybody would feel comfortable putting in a percentage of grantless growth because there's a pretty high probability that it's just going to stay the same minus the second phase of the revaluation. So I used last year's grantless numbers plus that percentage of being in the second year of the four-year phase-in. So I believe that's an increase of 7.2%. So that's just kind of what this slide shows. I updated the 24 grantless numbers with the actuals and then just implemented a 7.2% increase on real estate, because that's really all the phase-in applies to. So the next item on the agenda is the tax exemptions and the tax collection rate. So as of right now, we don't know what the tax exemptions are going to be. When you talk about like the elderly tax relief, those applications aren't due until May. So we really have no way to know what it's going to be. I did find the last 3 years of the elderly tax relief and what that amount was. So it's always somewhere around 200,000. And other tax exemptions, like the firefighter's abatement, that's usually around $24,000. So that's just based on historical actuals. And then moving on to the tax collection rate. So I came up with a kind of a mill rate calculation sheet that I can bring up here. I don't know if anybody can see that. It's kind of small. So essentially, I separated out real estate and personal property because motor vehicles have a set mill rate. And so I took the grantless number that I got from the prior slide and updated that. Then I took a 99% tax collection rate. And this is where kind of all the estimates come in. So you can take what you think the town budget is going to be for fiscal 27, what you think the Board of Ed budget is going to be for fiscal 27, the Board of Finance budget, and then you come up with what the total.
Last question.
Yeah.
A lot of us have followed up. What page is this on?
Mill rate calculation sheet is not in the
packet. All these things, we don't have any of those.
The information is in the packet, but the sheet she's showing us is kind of on spreadsheet.
Yeah, so I came up with this Friday after I sent out the packet out and on Thursday. So.
Can you make it any bigger, Zoe?
Minimize the people that are online there so that those numbers can be seen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, better. Thank you.
All right. So then you're looking at the left-hand column up here. So we took a 99% tax collection rate, and that leaves us with the taxable grand list that we can collect on. And then the amount to be raised by taxes, that's just what our budget is going to end up being. So whether or not that's a 5%. 4% increase, that's where that number comes from, less motor vehicle taxes, because those use a different mill rate. And yeah, so this is just kind of how the mill rate is calculated and going through step by step. So once you know what your budget is going to be, you divide that by your taxable grand list, and that provides you with your mill rate. So obviously all of these numbers are very much estimates right now. but I plugged in a few numbers just to see. So the town's budget came in at the $14,762,000. I gave the BOE just a 6% increase, and then I kept the Board of Finances the same. And I added to say, if we go out to bond, I added what our first debt payment would be, because that's what would be added onto the Board of Finance budget. And then that gave me essentially what the total estimated expenses would be for fiscal 27. And then you subtract non-tax revenues. So that's like our grants, our charges from service, and then that leaves you with the amount that needs to be raised by taxes. And then that provides a mill rate. So essentially, long story short, is my projections show a 6% increase. This is just based on what I thought. And so if the budget increased 6%, then you can kind of see in turn that there would be a 3% increase in taxes. And we can take all these numbers and plug them in as we go so that everybody knows if we come in at this increase, that's what the impact is going to be on the taxes. That makes sense?
Yes, very useful spreadsheet. Thank you very much. I would like to make sure we circle back and finish reviewing some of the other items in the packet before we get too focused on the numbers entered in the spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah, that was just the tax collection rate. But I'm going back to the packet.
So going back to the beginning of the packet, I'm sorry, with the assessor, do we not have some new housing coming online in the coming year that will be added to the tax, to the grand list?
Yeah, so there's like
the housing on Martin Road.
Yeah, it's Applegate. I know there's going to be some additions. Yeah, so there's definitely going to be additions, but there's also more exemptions as well coming in. So at this point, I didn't really feel comfortable estimating what that growth was going to be. But yes, you're right.
But do you have a sense of when we would know that?
Yes, January 1st is when the grand list is published. So yeah, again, I think it's too early to really start estimating grand list amounts.
So you mentioned for the on the revenue side, the tax relief for the elderly and the fire department, but I thought there was one for veterans as well. And my understanding was there were some huge legislative changes that really impacted Canton to the negative side, I guess, if you will, on our tax receipts on those veterans' properties. Are those active at all into this, or because you didn't mention that, so I just was curious as to.
No, so this was just an estimated worksheet. We have to factor in the elderly tax relief. We still have to factor in all of those exemptions. I could pull what they were last year and kind of plug them in the same.
Because it was huge change, and I know that the Assessors Association, I spoke with Eleni, and she said they're trying to get something fixed because it hit a little. It affected a lot of communities because before it was a certain dollar amount, and then it went to if you were 100%, I get the terms, but PD disabled, that you got your home. It's like $10,000. So it really impacted Canton. The last numbers that I saw from the assessor. So,
was that also in last year's budget though? Did we?
We absorbed it in last year's budget.
Yeah, I was going to say we got hit by it last year. So right. Anything that we're looking at that's comparing last year to this year would sort of already have that.
But it wasn't one of the itemized numbers. That's right. I just wanted to bring it to attention.
But it was complete disability, correct? It was not partial disability?
Right, complete.
Yeah.
But they changed what the definition of what that was. So really, before it used to be, well, I don't want to get into ticket folder, but yeah.
But we should look at it, yeah.
Yes, the details on the exemptions are something we'll need to, as Zoe pointed out, you know, they're estimated off of last year's, but as we get closer and move into this budget,
budget season, we need to take a close look at what those are going to be and what those impacts will be. So thank you for the comments going back.
Okay, so moving on to review of debt service. This is page 3 in the packet. This is just kind of a chart showing that debt service is going to continually decrease as we move ahead, unless we bond for more money, obviously, but I did not account for any new bonding in this debt service chart, just because I think it's too early to take an amount. We don't know the interest rate, so this schedule just kind of shows all of our debt service, and it is broken out by each bonding cycle that we did. So I know somebody had asked for that at some point.
And real quick, Ms. Coggins did ask about the interest being paid on, particularly on the firehouse. Do we know which color or which time period that bond was taken out of?
June or April?
It's June. The lighter blue.
It wasn't the bridges too. It was the firehouse and bridges.
Yes.
That's right. So that's why it was a large number.
Very.
We also refinanced.
So it's on the next page.
Yeah. We also refinanced.
Yes.
Okay. So we have to break those numbers out to find out the true interest payments on that particular project. All right. Sorry. Please continue.
So 3E is our undesignated fund balance estimates. This is a worksheet that is presented at every Board of Finance meeting. It shows our fund balance beginning from June 30, 2021, all the way to the estimate of June 30, 2025. And as you can see, the fund balance has been slowly decreasing due to a lot of large deficits that occurred in prior years. And then if you look at the last portion there for fiscal year 24-25, that shows kind of the revenue deficit that we found ourselves in, the town and EMS deficit. And I included there that portion that the Board of Finance budgeted for to move to fund balance, and then the Board of Ed's deficit, because I know that hasn't all been sorted out yet. Then that just kind of gives us our estimated fund balance as of June 30, 2025, which is definitely getting lower than we would like to see. But again, this has been brought up at almost every Board of Finance meeting, so.
Yeah, as a reminder, our target percentage is, I believe we've identified as around like 15.5. Is that right? At its lowest.
15 would be ideally what you don't want to go below.
Yeah. So this is a budget item, issue that we'll need to address and start building that back up in this coming cycle.
All right, moving on to fringe benefits. So page 6 kind of just shows our obligations that we have to pay into our pension fund. These numbers are given to us by the actuaries, and they are just our yearly contributions that we have to make. So you can see the ADEC for the town pension, the ADEC for the COE pension, defined contribution, which is essentially just the matching that the town does. And then this also includes the fire and EMS pension as well. So you can kind of see all those numbers, and it gives you a little bit better of an idea of what goes into the whole pension number that we budget for. The next slide is kind of just some union information, just lets you know if you're in a union, that's what the town matches for defined contributions. And then the next page, page 8, is fringe benefits. This was our estimate of our insurance increase, and it kind of goes through line by line. FICA, we increased by 3% because that's what salaries are going to increase. So in turn, FICA will increase the same amount. Everything else has about an 8% increase, which has just been standard year over year, except for the medical insurance, which the town and the board decided to budget 20% for that because we know that it's going to be another large increase. We don't know the exact amounts, but we figured we would just rather be safe than sorry and go in at a 20% increase again. And then the pension is increasing just because our pension payments need to increase based on what our actuaries tell us. Are there any questions on that section?
Yeah, I have a question. So on the for both Public Works and the police hired before 10/1/2013, why are the numbers different? And I thought they usually were identical. And for the other two, the police after 10/2013 and dispatchers are the same. So why are the earlier police 7 from the employee but 11 from the town?
It was a contract negotiation.
All right, so they just, thank you.
They got a good negotiation.
They did a good job.
Yeah, oftentimes you'll see those differences occur when you're starting to tier out different benefits. So they typically will tier something out for officers who haven't been hired yet. Mm-hmm. So the union recognized the officers who are there. They say after this contract date, it usually impacts officers coming after that negotiation.
I would like to pause and see if there's any questions on the information Zoe has just covered in the past few slides at this point. Please continue.
Okay, so that brings us to our CIP plan, which, as I think we all know, we haven't really met to discuss that yet. So I didn't have much information to put in there. I included the proposed CIP plan from last year, just because I know that this includes what was asked for and what we know we might need to fund in this next budget cycle. But this is really just last year's CIP plan with all of those asks in it, just because I don't think CIP has met yet.
All right, if I could ask Chair Daniels, CIP committee, when are they going to be?
Thank you for that. I need to set that date, which I'll do immediately after this meeting. I'll check with, same group from the Board of Selectmen on the appointments?
No, we're going to wait till after the election. Things around, so if we can wait till.
Well, so then I'll meet with the same group. We need to start CIP.
Because yeah, meet with the same group, and then it may change after the election.
There's also, the CIP policy committee made a recommendation for changing the form, the membership of the CIP committee to include 2 members from the Board of Finance. And that action maybe should be taken along with this, perhaps as soon as possible. But
we're only 2 weeks away then. So, Kevin, I'll wait.
Yeah.
And then I'll huddle with you right after the election.
But maybe
it was discussed at our meeting, and there was a couple
follow-up items.
Wanted to talk to the group about incorporating, and we're ready to adopt or give our blessing to the back.
Right. My guess would be that changing the form of the CIP committee could be done sort of as a separate item from the rest of that suggested policy. Mm-hmm. And the sooner it's done, the sooner they can get to work. So this might be something to consider.
Thank you for the update on that.
I'll cover the resident CIP request for you know for that.
Please.
So it's part and parcel to our new focus on the CIP. When I came on board last year after the tri-board, I reviewed them somewhere around, I think, the November timeframe, and I think there was a little discussion during the CIP committee on them. I don't recall how much time you spent on them. But I perused them for the last several years, and I noticed that while we requested them and we reviewed them, we never really took any action on them. So I would like to discuss whether this is something we continue, but with more focus, or is it just an exercise in making the request? So I don't have any tonight to review, but I would like to bring that up at our next CIP.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Yep. Will do.
Thanks for it.
All right. So any more to cover here?
I can keep going through the agenda, but really.
All right.
I don't know if you want to take over.
All right. So, yeah, I think at this point I would like to turn it over to the Board of Education to review any numbers they've prepared for us in terms of forecasting.
Thank you. We have a handout.
John can pass those out to the committee with the first command. John, do the board. John, can everybody hear first?
So what we prepared for tonight, and this is very low.
They don't count.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to that. But what we have is something very general. Typically, we start this process. The superintendent will begin it in November, and he'll come to the board in December because he'll have some information that he can really land on and be a little bit within a forecast that we can start to work with. So this is preliminary for us, but what we do have, and do you have the... Okay. What we did put together was the four main drivers as it stands today of what will be driving our budget going forward. And those are the contractual salaries, in which you have on top, you have the four main bullets, and then below that, you have a year-over-year what the increase looks like percentage-wise, and then the actual dollar number in your review. So we have contractual salaries, which will be up 3.11. And on the certified salaries, that's about $910,000. With the non-certified, that's another $171,000. So we're just over $1 million in just salary increases. Benefits, as Zoe pointed out, the way we're budgeting is there's an increase of 15.8%, but we still have to think about the expense fund and how we're gonna fund that going forward. So that number is fluid until the insurance committee tells us what direction we should take. But I think that number could go up to some extent. Transportation and special education is 0.36. And then tuition, including special education, is 1.59. That's the last out of district tuition you can see on the sheet. So preliminarily, without adding in anything for education and other things that we may need, thinking in terms of our small capital, which is small equipment things that are under $25,000 to either replace or repair, we're at 8.28%. on a very preliminary start.
Thank you very much. Yeah, again, keep in mind these are very preliminary numbers. We're doing the best we can to look at, you know, what would it be if we took last year's budget, just applied these factors that we know right now, where would we be starting off with in our budget process? Keep in mind that these numbers are, you know, subject to change as we move through the budgeting process.
No, just really quick. There's a board member trying to join, and she's unable to get in. She said she's waiting for someone to let her in. Sorry.
Yes, I know Felicia is going to be joining.
There's a lot of work that goes in between now and then, looking at what we're going to get in grants and the revenue, and then the superintendent. I don't think we're too far off from where we started last year at the same time. Would you say so, Dr. Grossman? Well, We didn't use the 20% for insurance last year. What's very concerning that I see right now is insurance is just alone. Insurance is $1.1 million, which is a 3.23%. That's concerning. And then special ed over last year to this year, it is another $553,000. So when we look at those two items, you're correct that if you remember last year, I came to you and presented the forecasted budget. If insurance wasn't as high of where it is and special education didn't go higher, we're pretty much where we thought we would be, where I predicted we'd be around in the fives. But last year's forecast didn't include insurance being at 20%. And included it at the rate of about 8 or 9%. Right. So that's a drastic difference. And special education is a pretty much of a drastic difference of what I predicted that, and you'll hear later in the finance meeting that we had 10 new students come to us from out of district. So that changed our budget that we need to talk about. So to say, is this where we were last year? When we did the forecasted model last year with the consumer price index, I think we were landing around a 7.5, 7.8. So we're kind of there, but we weren't using a 20% in insurance. So that's a major cost driver for us. That if it was a typical 1% increase over last year, this number would be in the sixes, and this is going to be a very difficult budget season because you said that we didn't provide any line item analysis. It's too early. I'll be able to provide a line item analysis in December, but we're really going to have to look at that our largest increases are contractual and benefits, that we're going to really have to look at that. And when 81% of the Board of Education budget is personnel, that we're going to really have to look at personnel, and there could be, like last year, reductions in staff. We did reduce staff last year, and I did predict in the forecast that we'll be reducing staff this year. It's just the where and what it's the impact on. Mr. Daniels.
I would give you one piece of very good news. And tonight, or earlier this afternoon, some of the board members and myself, Dr. Grossman, Mr. Bishop, we attended the grand opening of the Quantum Bridges facility that was just opened, which is a collaboration between Canton, the Canton District, and Quantum. The school is located in Avon. It's a wonderful facility. It prevents us from doing outplacements further outside of the district. It keeps our students close by. It keeps our parents close by. It's a wonderful facility. Right now, I think we said we have 5 students in the facility. There is not only does it do great things for families and kids, but it does great things for our pocketbook too. So there is a savings there. We hope to build on that. We didn't think we would get any return on investment just yet, but I think we are going to see a little bit of a return on investment already. So this is a wonderful collaboration that becomes the model, I think, for other towns, because we can, as part of the partnership, we can take in other students from other towns and earn tuition on that. So wonderful thing. I give credit to Dr. Grossman, Mr. Bishop, Mrs. McClellan on being able to put this together. It's exactly what you've asked us to do, is to find different ways. We have our Thrive program, if you remember from a few years ago. That is working extremely well, and now we have the Bridges program. So just a bit of good news that we can, in a meeting that sometimes can be kind of difficult. So.
Thank you, Chair Daniels. Yeah, that is good news. I mean, special education, as we've all experienced, is something that's a variable that we have very little control over. So I appreciate the efforts of the Board of Education and the staff in trying to, you know, curb some of that variability. All right, at this time, I will ask if there are any questions for the Board of Ed on the information they have presented.
Just one more thing.
Sure.
One of the questions that came up last year throughout the budget process was to take a hard look at class size. So the Board of Education Policy Committee is looking at class size and looking at the latest research with class size, and that will be reflected in this budget. I also want to let the Board of Finance know that the budget book will be presented very similar to what it was presented last year, but we'll be adding a major section in there relative to a spreadsheet that every single line item will be itemized with increases and decreases like we've done in the past, but there'll be a notes page added on to that that will give examples of everything and the rationale of why the each line item went up or went down. So over the past year or two, I've heard a couple of those things, and those are going to be major things within the budget book. I would ask at this time if there's anything else that we can, besides telling us to go lower, are there any other formatting questions that you would be looking for within the budget? Those were two major items. And what we'll also do is, for all our class sizes at the elementary, we will describe and give a summary of why we have put that class size and what's the breakdown and the needs of that class. And then the summary page, I've heard that. So is there anything else that you'd be looking for? And we'll also be coming into some of the forecast.
Yeah, Dr. Gross, thank you for bringing that up. That was something I intended to address in this, and I'll open it up to finance board members in a second. Last year, and we appreciate the information being provided when asked for, and it was a very collaborative process to make the process a bit easier this year. We were hoping to have some coordination with our finance director in terms of finding some commonality between the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed's presentations of the budget to make that kind of review more streamlined. So as we go through the process, yes, what you're proposing sounds great. And that is the information we were asking for at the end of the process last year. Again, last year was a little messy. We're going through some staff transitions and things kind of were running right up to the wire. We hope that we'll have plenty of preparation this year and planning, and it'll be beneficial for all of us. So with that, Ken?
Last week, I had the pleasure with the Lions going in and doing the eye exam for the children at Cherry Brook. Again, I witnessed, sorry about that. Again, I witnessed tutoring in the hallway. So when you're talking about class sizes, this is what triggered the question. What is the latest on the expansion of Cherry Brook?
Yes.
Because we have the whole, all three boards here.
Here's the update. If you recall, about a year and a half ago, there was a study done prior to my arrival on an enrollment study and a facility study. It was done by NESDEC, and Mr. Bishop helped me out if I'm missing anything. And that was a study that was brought to the Board of Education, it was brought to the Selectmen, it was brought to the Building Committee, and it was also brought to the Board of Finance. And predetermined, it was the best option was to put portables at Cherry Brook Primary School. And as we went about the whole process and really down to the wire, it was really, the recommendation was to put portables, but it may not have been the best recommendation. So if you remember, we can hold back on that. We've worked with the CAO to ask the CAO to work with the selectmen, and I gather, I just heard this other day that it was on the selectmen agenda the other day, to establish a committee, a true committee, made up of Board of Finance members, made up somebody from the Building Committee, Board of Ed, a selectman, and administration, to really study where we are with Cherry Brook in the facility and how we are going to move forward, because you want to get it right. You don't want to get it wrong. And we had Russ Bush was the Board of Education member on that committee, and it just didn't seem right. It felt rushed. It was at a time where our CAO was leaving and we wanted to get a bonding package out there, and it just didn't seem right. So you are still going to see tutoring in the hallway. We do need more space and different things like that. It's what is that space going to look like? So I've been told by CAO that The selectman is asking for some more information. So Mr. Bishop, myself, Mr. Daniels, and Mr. Bush will probably attend a selectman meeting, but the recommendation would be to formalize, like we did when we did the renovation project for the middle school and the high school and the CIS, that there is a committee that is really studying what is the best look at what Sherbrooke Primary School should look like. And the enrollment study that we actually had, it's wrong. Like, that's not the numbers that we are getting that are coming in, but we don't even fit now. So that's the thing. So
we're not even fitting now. We don't have an increase in students. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The public should be aware of this. They're teaching in the hall of paper.
Thank you, Ken. Other questions? Sarah?
Yeah, I hate to ask this question. With the benefits going up the way they have, I mean, and Kent is by no means the only town facing this. I think all the towns are. Is there any other way to go about reducing the benefits? I mean, you're under contract right now, so.
I defer to the chair of the insurance committee.
Some good news as it relates to health insurance. So yes, we put a 20% increase across both the town and the Board of Education. When you put in such a significant increase like that, you actually expect that people will drop off the plan. And we actually had a little increase in membership. So people still value the plan, which is a good thing when it comes to attracting and retaining employees. We have 2 months worth of completed medical experience, July and August. Both those months, surprising to me, came in at a medical claim loss ratio in the mid-60s, which is phenomenal, right? Because, from my point of view, break-even for a plan is around mid-70s. So right now, the plan is performing is really well. However, it's the first 2 months of a new medical plan year.
Can you just explain for the folks in the room what that means? Because I don't think everybody understands what that means.
Which part?
The medical cost. Right.
So you're comparing like the premium to the claims. And so, you know, to have a break-even year, you want to have that number be around 75%. So we're in the mid-60s, first 2 months. However, it's a beginning of the planned year, and what that means is that people haven't met their deductibles and their out-of-pocket yet. We're fortunate to be able to have such experts on our insurance committee to be able to help us through this. We are right now sourcing for a broker because we've had this broker for a while now, and we just think it makes good business sense to put our brokerage business out to bid. That we're going, trying to nail that down for a new broker effective 1/1/2026. Once we have that, we will be asking the broker for recommendations on how we can continue to mitigate, our health insurance costs. So, more to come.
Mr. Miller, can I just add one more thing? Just so the public is aware, Mr. Dango said that the administration has started the budget process. We started the budget process in September, very similar to the CAO. We will be presenting a forecasted memo of where we are in December. And all the meetings from December all the way to when the Board of Education presents the budget to the Board of Finance is a public budget meeting. So on every agenda, we will have a budget workshop. So it's a time for the community to give input based upon the forecast and memo to the Board of Education and to the Board of Education before they submit. So there's at least 4 to 5 to 6 opportunities for the public to chime in on the Board of Education agenda before Board of Education budget before it is presented to you. Sorry, Ben, spoke to your thunder.
There's no thunder. Thank you all for those updates. Yeah, no, I mean, the classrooms at Sherbrooke and the insurance issue continue to be a point of interest as we go through these processes. So I appreciate the extra explanation on those items. I would like to move to, so if you could pull up the page 17 of the packet and the PDF, which shows that it's the very beginning of the draft of the Town of Canton operating budget. And particularly at the bottom.
Yeah.
The bottom of that page where it shows the values mm-hmm. that were used. Maybe zoom into that piece again. All right, so as we've heard from the Board of Education, some of the major items that are going to be driving their budget increases this year that are things that we have very little control over. Up on the screen here in the packet, you'll also see some of the drivers that were incorporated into the town's forecasting, which will likewise impact the Board of Education's budget as well. So just to bring some, highlight those numbers for you all, you know, the one that jumps out at me is a light and power increase of 20%. Holy cow, you know. So that's, you know, that's a large increase for something that, you know, is you know, just keeping the lights on literally. You know, and then water increase of 13%. So these are some things to keep in mind that, you know, are affecting the town budget, the school budget, but also affecting our residents in town as well, you know. And so as we can see, this is, you know, as we've gone through the past couple of years, this is not going to be an easy budget cycle. We're due for an easy budget cycle, but it's not happening this year, unfortunately. So those numbers, you know, I thank CEO Mark and Finance Director Zoe for putting together this prediction using these numbers, applying it to the town's budget from last year to see where would we land if, you know, we just kept everything the way it was, but, you know, calculated for these numbers. So if we just go down to the next page, the bottom of the next page, you know, and you can, you know, certainly, you know, this information is available online on our website. And so there's lots of line items to look at there. Again, it's forecasted numbers, but we look down at the bottom of that page, we'll see that the town's coming in, you know, with those variables at 5.1%. So the initial indication from the Board of Ed being, you know, around an 8%, you know, without accounting for, you know, a whole slew of other variables, and with the town coming in at 5.1, you know, this is not dissimilar from where we started last year. And we all know as we go through the process, we keep services and we do our best to, all the boards do our best to balance town services with increases in cost and cost of, you know, so we want to keep services the same as much as we can while accounting for these increases in cost that we have no control over. So as we go through this process, you know, we'll see, you know, where we land. But these are some things that, you know, the Board of Education or Selectmen should keep in mind as they go through their process. A couple other items I would like to bring up for both boards to consider. On top of the numbers we're looking at here, as I brought up before, our undesignated fund is below where it needs to be. And, you know, I'm going to work with the finance director, our board will work with the finance director and come up with a plan for refunding the undesignated fund to get it back up. We want to maintain our AAA rating in terms of, you know, when we go out for bonding. You know, so it's important we pay attention to that. Not to mention, that is our rainy day fund. If something were to happen, we need to have a savings account that will be able to help us through the hard time. And other things that have been discussed, a special education contingency fund. On a yearly basis, and over the past few years, we've noticed that, you know, special education is something that we have no control over, right? It's a state mandate that we provide an equal opportunity in education to all students. That being said, we have to provide services particular to each student, and those costs are unknown variables. As Dr. Grossman just brought up, we had 10 students come in the district this year. That's very expensive for us. And the state mandate doesn't refund us fully. So we end up in the hole on a state mandate. Now, we're not alone in this issue. And I, you know, again, point out the Board of Ed is doing everything they can to mitigate some of those costs. One thing that we've discussed is coming up with a special education contingency fund. So what we've done the past few years is we come up in the hole for special education to the tune of, I don't know, $300,000. And that comes out of the undesignated fund at the end of the year to balance the books. Our undesignated fund is going down as a result of these budget deficiencies at the end of the year. So the alternative is to put money up front in a contingency fund, knowing that we may or may not need extra money at the end of the year to help fund this line item. So that's a choice that, you know, the Board of Education is going to need to make. It's going to impact the budget. But is that a better way of doing business than pulling out of the fund at the end of the year? I would argue yes, but that's up for the board and voters to decide. Likewise, with the Board of Selectmen, they established a contingency fund last year, which is, you know, which is excellent. It was not fully funded. So I would hope, you know, we are hoping to see, you know, more funding go into that contingency fund this year. That helps us account for unexpected retirements, payouts, benefits. These things do happen. We should be planning for as much as we can, you know, to the best of our ability. You know, keep track of staff. We know when they're going to retire, what to plan, make sure we have money set aside for that. Some of these things are known and we should be planning for those. But once in a while, there's a departure that's unexpected. And that's what a contingency fund is for. Again, on the town side, that would help us to avoid, you know, having budget deficits at the end of the year, and help us to maintain a healthier balance for our town and the undesignated fund over time. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the insurance once again. You know, we ended up in a hole with our health insurance for the town. We are self-insured. We have a fund that we have to fund, put money in order to pay out claims. And we have all the correct mechanisms of insurance in place, but things still happen. And credit to the Board of Selectmen for setting up the insurance committee. That's fantastic. We need to spend more time paying attention to it so that we can be proactive and making sure that this type of situation of, you know, deficiency in that fund doesn't happen again. That being said, we are still digging out of the hole that we started digging out of last year. And that is some of what we're seeing this year as insurance costs continue to go up, and we have to refund that fund for the insurance cost. So I just threw a whole bunch of stuff out. These are all things that, you know, should be considered as we go through the budget process. We're going to have to make tough choices as we do every year. You know, at least from my end, you know, before I close, I will ask if there are any additional comments from Board of Selectmen, Board of Ed, before I give my final closing here.
Well, for the Board of Selectmen, I just want to thank you for hosting tonight's meeting. And again, as we move forward in our budget deliberations and our workshops, I think that we will continue really with a zero-based budget as we did last year. And we kind of drilled down to, you know, how much postage for each department was utilized. And we tried to present those amounts to you as open and transparent as we could. And, you know, we're coming in again at a net decrease in staff last year. We'll do that again this year. So we're really maximizing the potential of our existing staff and decreasing what we think that we can adopt those so we don't have unnecessary personnel, which would impact ultimately our insurance and a lot of other things that we're talking about. And we've created, as you said, Chairman, committees to address some of the larger issues, whether it's pension or Slipper Windsor chairs or Public Safety Subcommittee. We'll be looking at the EMS paper call and all the benefits attached to that. And some of those are some of our biggest drivers that we cannot predict. So we're working on that and doing the best job we can. And we finally have stability in our executive offices with a new CAO and a new finance director. So hoping that this budget season kind of is nice and smooth for us. But thank you for the opportunity.
And the only thing I would say is there's been great collaboration between the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education, and then bringing in the Board of Finance. So if there's a way to solve some of these problems, I feel that the three of us are working cooperatively and collaboratively to try to fix whatever we can. So I appreciate that on both sides. And, you know, it's early, so more to come. Stand by.
Thank you both. And, you know, thank you to our staff for being here tonight and all the work that you're doing and putting in and helping out our town and helping out these boards to help our town be the best it can be. Thank you to the Board of Selectmen, Board of Education. We are all volunteers, and look how many of us volunteered to be up here tonight to make Canton a better place. You know, so that's fantastic. So just real quick, next steps. While the budget is a collaborative and iterative project involving public input, multiple boards, county and education staff, the process culminates in a vote of the Board of Finance to set budgets to referendum. As outlined in the town charter, Board of Finance are charged with making independent determinations whether the expenditure and taxing proposals contained in each budget are reasonable in light of the town's resources and long-term objectives, as well as citizens' willingness to fund the budget through taxes. For this reason, the Board of Finance traditionally offers budgetary guidance and targets at the tri-board meeting, so there will not be surprises at the end of the process. The initial guidance and ultimately the final vote of the budget is made using objective data, best practices, and independent judgment calls. Factors the Board of Finance considers are inflation, the grand list, non-tax revenue, including state aid fees, charges, and interest income, long-term fiscal health of the town, including a history of tax increases, best practices, Board of Selectmen, Board of Education goals and priorities, mill rate comparison with peer towns and economic competitiveness, public audience and feedback, which is critical, community sentiment for or against increased taxes, affordability considerations, state mandates and legal obligations, public safety, timing of funding, alternative funding sources, including grants, fees, public and private partnerships and donations, efficiencies, where we can find them, responsible use of reserves, performance measures, and many other things that could be listed. So we extend our thanks to all who develop and implement town school budgets and look forward to hearing your priorities and concerns as we work together to reconcile spending priorities with keeping our town as affordable as possible. So with that, I will call for closing this meeting, part of the Board of Finance.
Any movement to adjourn on behalf of the Board of Selectmen?
Any objections to adjourning? Then the Board of Education is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you all for attending.
Break?
Yes, we'll take a 10-minute recess before starting the next meeting.